First thoughts, Dr. Jason Cans from his home in Eau Claire. Good morning, 36 degrees, and it's Thursday.
Good morning. Sounds like our temps are starting to come up. I'm hoping for a little warmer weekend.
Yesterday was nice. Yesterday, mid-40s. I mean, you could go outside, and it's pretty good. So,
yeah.
But it's been, you know, I've been saying, we've been talking around here, like, I don't remember October being this cold.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, October is my favorite month, and this one has been a chilly one for sure.
Yeah. So this is what we're in the midst of. I mean, countdown to Election Day for sure, big time. You've got President Trump coming back to Wisconsin for a third time in a week. You think Wisconsin's important as an electoral map or what? He's coming back to Green Bay, I guess. And Vice President Pence was here yesterday in Mosinee, and Joe Biden's coming on Friday. We still don't know where. But we're counting down toward the election, but we're thinking what we can do as brothers in the Lord, hopefully spirit-led, is, hey, let's prepare for this, because maybe your candidate at the top or another race is going to win. Let's face it, the presidency gets all the attention. And maybe he won't. But the bottom line is, are you ready to behave Christianly from here to Election Day, on Election Day, and afterwards? And what does that mean, behave Christianly?
I think for me it is is how we're interacting with others, is how we're thinking about the candidates, guided by what we learn about the love of God and the love of others in Scripture. I think if we are honest, sometimes we are not really doing that. I know I'm not, certainly in my thoughts.
Right. I mean, it's so competitive, and it can be so divided, and people lobbying and maybe just giving yourself permission, like, I'm going to say things in social media and maybe even around the water cooler. I wouldn't say otherwise. So I think it has to do with, you know, catching yourself. And so I'm going to let you go first today. We're each trying to come up with a Bible verse to encourage you to think about and live out through the election and hopefully beyond. So you go first today.
Yeah, so I'm going with Romans 12 today. The whole chapter of Romans 12 would be great to ponder today if you don't have something to read yet in your Bible reading. But in Romans 12, verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And you know, as I read that, it's, okay, there's all this chaos, all this turmoil that's going on around us. But what it's telling us, what Paul is telling us through that is, you know, what can you do? What can I do as a believer to be a person of peace in the midst of the chaos? That doesn't mean everybody else is going to be that way, but how can I show up as a loving, godly, peaceful person?
Yeah, that's really good. For me, I'm going to go 1 Corinthians 13, 4a. Mm. All right, who sounded like just quite the Bible guy. But, I mean, I want to go only as far as love is patient. And just pointing at me first. I mean, I just know, like, on the radio, I talk fast. Sorry, that's just kind of the way I do it. And, you know, we're kind of moving things along. And then in life, I feel like for people, I can just be in a rush, in a hurry. And I'm just challenged by that. My friend Matt Canzera has a podcast called Jesus Never Ran. Or, you know, I listen to John Mark Comer's book about the ruthless elimination of hurry, and I wanted him to hurry up. No, I mean, even listening to, you know, whatever, but I mean, it is,
yep.
I just feel incredibly challenged, and I wish that the definition of love, which I've memorized, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, I wish like crazy it didn't begin with that word patient, but it does, and you got to just start there, and it is a high hurdle to jump over.
Yeah, so how does that play out then in this political season? What does patience look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it is something to ponder. I mean, I even tried to look it up here in the Greek this morning, and remaining under endurance, steadfastness. I mean, I think it's. I guess I'm just, this is just off the top of my head. There's a kind of a pulling back, right? I mean, if I'm impatient, I'm rushing forward, and things are unbridled, verbally and otherwise, emotionally. But I guess I'm thinking of patient as a strong holding back. And elsewhere in Scripture, it says God has unlimited patience. Imagine that. And so he has an incredible ability to hold back.
Yeah, and I think for me it also brings up the idea of settledness. You know, I think so often impatience is driven by anxiety and you know, tying these two together, Romans 12 verse talks about living at peace, and this one talks about patience. And it's, I think it's in a settled place that, you know, regardless of what happens next Tuesday, God is still on the throne. He's not letting the cosmos spin out of control if Biden or if Trump are elected. He mm-hmm. still is in control.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it sets it up just like volleyball. Played a little, at least JV volleyball in high school. Yeah, they had that for boys down in southeastern Wisconsin. So you've said it. I'm going to try to spike it with a song. We could go God is on the throne, glad, but we're going to go Ragamuffin Band, Make Me an Instrument. I think that fits from St. Francis of Assisi,
perfect.
Right?
Yep.
Thank you. I love what we're doing here. I think this is the right thing. I think we're just kind of trying to lay the groundwork for the election and beyond. All right, buddy. Talk to you tomorrow.
Awesome. Talk to you tomorrow.
Coming
up. Household.
Yeah. So why would you, Wib family, why would you put in a word yay or nay for my household owning a cat? The pressure is starting to build on Dad to make a decision. Talk
I
more.
I cannot wait to hear this coming up. All right. So it is cat day.
It is. And now both of our households have a dog or more than one dog.
Yeah.
No cats in either household here.
Right. We have two ferrets. But
we are asking you again for your cat stories today on this cat day. And why do you give kudos to felines? We'd love to hear from you. In my household right now, we have our big dog, Arlo. We do not have a cat. The pressure is starting to come, particularly from my wonderful wife and my eldest, Lily. That we need to have a cat in our home.
Why?
Lily really enjoys cats.
Okay.
Lindsay likes cats, thinks they're cute, but also we are starting to, like, the cold has kind of driven more mice than we've ever seen before. Toward us, too, so that's another possibility of maybe trying to keep the mice away a little bit. When you go back to Arlo and why we have Arlo, I was maybe not as much of a fan of having a pet early on in our marriage. My wife would send me from petfinder.com because, again, we wanted to, she wanted to get a shelter pet and a dog that someone else didn't want and bring him into our home. Well, she would send me while I was at work. She would send me pictures. What about this one? What about this one? I had never said that I wanted a dog. But again,
the pressure was
kind of wore down my defenses in her kind and lovely way, and we got Arlo.
Yeah.
Well, again, I have noticed an increase again in the pressure with not a, can we get a, you know, but just a, look at this cat.
Okay.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
Have you noticed this kind of cat before? Kind of the ginger fur. And so, and again,
the pressure
in a light and kind and loving way, the pressure is starting to come to the point where I'm being shown pictures. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, oh, yeah, here was a cat that someone else found and is available for adoption. And and so here's the thing. What I'm wondering is, make the case for me, cat owners, non-cat owners, yay or nay. Is this something that I should seriously consider with a big dog and small children? Should I consider having a cat as well in my household? Why or why not?
And I got to tell you, Caleb, I am of no help to you. I mean, women can be quite persuasive. Wives can be very persuasive. I can be no help to you because my wife persuaded me to move to Liberia, West Africa for 2 years. So, I mean, you know, wives can be quite persuasive. I would bet on the cat coming to the house. But again, who knows?
But if I should stand strong against that, let me know that as well, friends. 715-396-1670 in a kind way and everything.
There is Arlo the dog already. So how will they get along?
And I feel like that's enough.
Yeah.
But
I hear you. All right, a fun chance for you to win. We're going to have some fun here this morning. Creative question. And Caleb, what is our prize?
All right, so we have a Chris Tomlin and Friends album. It's brand new from Chris Tomlin, and it's some great songs as he is working with some pretty big-name country artists. You may know of Thomas Rhett, Lady A, actually from the CCM side of things. We the Kingdom is on this, Bear Reinhardt of Need to Breathe, but also Cassidy Pope, Brett Young, Ray Lynn. Russell Dickerson's on there, so some of those country songs, the collaborations. It's a full album of collaborations, Chris Tomlin and Friends. We have that for you, plus a T-shirt, Chris Tomlin and Friends T-shirt, so you can show how much you love Chris as well. That is a size large. We have both of those prizes for you.
All right, here is our question. At 715, we're going with 723-2555. We want to take your call right here on the air, 723-2555. 40,000 Americans are injured each year by this. It is in almost every household.
Yes.
Right.
40,000 Americans injured by this each year. I have not been injured by this, but there is, it is in my household.
I guess it's possible. Anyhow, so yeah, it is in mine as well. We have a couple of them.
Yeah, we have a couple as well. All right. So 715-723-2555.
Yeah, again, for the Chris Tomlin
CD, Chris Tomlin T-shirt, yeah, new Chris Tomlin and Friends album collaborations all throughout, including Who You Are to Me with Lady A.
Hi, you're our first answer. Hi.
Hi, is it extension cords?
Extension cords. Good guess. That is not it, though.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, try again.
723-2555. How early do we need to go to a hint here?
Let's give it another guess, maybe. 40,000 Americans injured by this or by these each year, not extension cords.
What is it?
Curling irons?
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
I'm sure people are injured by that, but that is not the answer.
Not what we're looking for, but honestly, they're kind of dangerous too, not necessarily for the person who's curling, but if it gets set down and, you touch it on the counter and it's blazing hot.
I'm tempted to give a hint here. Hi, WWIB, 40,000 people in America injured by this every year in a household. What is it?
Is it stairs?
Stairs, not stairs.
Not stairs, sorry.
Again, I'd say in this day and age, every household has at least one of these.
Yeah. Hi, WWIB, 40,000 Americans injured by what every year?
Could it be scatter rugs?
Mm. Scatter rugs. Wow. Creative answer, not what we're looking
for, though. We're coming up with a lot of things that are potential. And maybe it's more in some instances than this. Hi.
Hello, phone charger?
Phone charger, not phone charger, no. Non-electrical for all of these things. 40,000 Americans injured by these each year. And again, got to be at least one in every household.
I'm going to go back to this one. A curling iron, most of the women who curl hair in my household, they do that in the bathroom. And so this particular object is in the bathroom. So what are
we
talking
about? That's a big hint. That's a big hint.
723-2555, 40,000 Americans injured by this in the bathroom every year. What are we talking about here on WWIB? What's your answer?
Electric shaver,
not electric shaver. All right, so it's not extension cords, it's not curling irons, it's not stairs, it's not scatter rugs, phone chargers, or electric shavers, but we've given you a big clue. These injuries do occur in the bathroom.
Go ahead.
Is it a plunger?
A plunger? It is not the plunger. But we will say the plunger would absolutely be in the vicinity of this.
It would be. Hi, WWIB, what's your answer?
Toilet.
The toilet? You are absolutely correct. 40,000 Americans injured by toilets each year. It does not go into details as to how that happened, and I'm guessing it's probably because of the level of embarrassment with those injuries.
I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. If you think that the lid is down and it's not, I mean, I think that's probably my biggest guess. Hi, who are we talking to?
Shirley,
where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Winter.
Well, Shirley from Winter, we've got some great prizes for you from Chris Tomlin, and congratulations, and may there be no toilet injuries in your future.
I hope not. Thank you.
Thank you. Hang on the line just a second for us.
Out with you on WWIB. Congratulations, San. That was fun. All right, our friend Sandy Polzin on the line, 34 degrees, WWIB 817. You know her as the executive director from Hope Gospel Mission, and certainly involved with Down to Earth. But we're talking about something completely different this time around, right, Sandy? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, WWIB. We sure are.
Yeah, Caleb here, too. So,
hi, Caleb.
Hey, Sandy. I was just getting a drink of water.
This idea for a faith-based school, you had, I think, an initial informational meeting at Down to Earth the other night, and a big response and countless others chiming in with you ever since then.
Yeah, actually, the Lord put it on my heart about 2 years ago, and I really, really did not feel like I was obeying. And several months ago, it's like that when he just kept nudging me, and then I felt like a little bird in a nest, and he just went, no. And he pushed me, and he nudged me, and he said, now is the time. And so I just said, okay, Father. So meeting with a friend, talking about school, and a lot of the frustration with public education right now, COVID, and with some of the direction that the schools are going, pricked so many people's hearts, and they just don't know what to do about it. And so talking with friends and connection with other business people in the community, I just felt there was enough interest to finally call a meeting, and I was pleasantly surprised that this last Monday night we had about 33 people there And then overnight, it grew to about 100 people, and we're sitting this week at around 150 people that have reached out, that are on the email list, that want information, that are desperate to find out how we can take care of our precious children and give them a God-filled education that brings about kingdom principle, amazing servants for the Lord. It's going to be so different and such a unique model that the entire community is going to be involved in this school. I promise you that.
Sandy, with, again, you say just swelling from 33 at that meeting on Monday to over 150. What are some of the comments or feelings that you're hearing from these parents who are concerned and saying, maybe here's a reason why I would be interested in this for my child or children?
Well, I think the frustration level is growing exponentially because of some of the regulations that are creeping in and some of the things that are being taught in the public school that are not in alignment with some Christians. And so I'm hearing, we are desperate. My child is sad. Our classroom settings are causing them distance and loneliness. Our curriculum is changing right before my very eyes. They're shifting in what is allowed for any faith-based components at all, of course, through the years. And that's been making parents sadder and sadder and now madder and madder. And they want their children to love God, love their country, love one another, of course, to serve, to build relationships. And it just seems like it's going in the opposite direction. So there was, you know, tears, frustration. We had public school teachers there. We had parents. We had grandparents. We had potential teachers. We had people who want to lead. We had people who want to give, people who want to volunteer. And we need all of that and then some. But we're looking at a beautiful, hands-on, dirty, experimenting field trip, community relation, community building, mission-minded, servant-minded school that's going to give them all of the components they need to have a healthy, strong academic life and a hands-on learning experience that gives them real life experiences.
So what's the next step? Where do you go from here, and how do people contact you to learn more?
Well, we're going to try to have a meeting every 2 weeks because we cannot do it without the people, right? It's not going to be a school by Sandy Paulzine. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be all hands on deck. Anyone that's interested is going to have to try to find where their gifts and talents are. So in 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks now, on November 9th, we are going to have our next meeting. This one will be held inside Harvest Time Chippewa Falls, not Eau Claire, Harvest Time Chippewa Falls. We're going to rotate our location because we want a lot of ministries and businesses to be involved. So this one will be at 6 p.m. Monday, November 9th, like I said, inside Chippewa Falls, Harvest Time. And my email address is Sandy with an I, so S-A-N-D-I, at dwntoearth.com. So it's Sandy with an I at downtoearth.com, but there's no O in the word down.
All right, and when we put this on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page for the podcast, we'll include that there. So, Sandy, thank you so much. I don't know how you do all that you do, but prayers for you and God's grace, okay?
Thank you so much, and it's all the Lord, so he'll equip whoever he needs.
Thank you, Sandy.
Absolutely. Yesterday, you heard us part one of our multi-part conversations with Brian Kelly from the Jana Kelly Memorial Foundation as we count down the days leading up to the two-year anniversary of that horrendous crash and the lost lives in Lake Halley. And Brian joins us on the line to talk with us, not only remembering as we lead up to the anniversary, but also highlighting another charity that's receiving a generous donation from the foundation. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again today.
Thank you. Yeah, it was good yesterday, I think, to just kind of give an overview and remember the difficulty, the hardship, you and your wife losing your 9-year-old daughter, Jana, as we come up on the anniversary. But, boy, this foundation, I mean, how helpful has that been to be involved in this work? And, again, we'll have a second charitable announcement here in a moment, and there's six overall, but how helpful has that been?
Oh, it's been great. It's just nice to have a purpose and a way to remember Jana, some things to do to keep us busy, and just kind of right now is the fruition of the whole year of work. We're able to hand out the donations.
Well, Brian, I know, again, second announcement here today. Yesterday, a $3,000 donation announced to the Ronald McDonald House of Rochester. Would you like to make the announcement right here, right now, here today? Another $3,000 being given from the Jana Kelly Foundation.
Well, actually, yesterday was one of the smaller donations of $3,000. Today, we're going to go a little bit bigger.
Okay.
So at 9 o'clock, we'll have a post on Jana's Facebook page. But the second gift will be a $10,000 gift, and that's going to go to the Chippewa County Foster Program.
Wonderful. And can you tell us a little bit more about that and how the foundation decided on the foster program as a recipient today?
Well, looking back at what Jana would have wanted, we kind of came up with this idea because Jana always wanted a baby brother, and that just never happened. And after she passed, we started talking about ways to honor her and make that happen. And we landed on foster as the way we want to be able to help children, which is one of the main goals of her foundation. And personally, our family, we want to pursue foster care and help children in our own home. Mm.
And again, now the Chippewa County Foster Class, Caleb and I were talking, maybe we weren't as familiar about it. Can you tell us a little bit about their work and what they do and why you felt so good about them to make this very sizable $10,000 donation towards them?
Well, as we went through the process to getting certified, we kind of learned more about the trauma that some of these children have. You know, they could be removed from their homes at any hour of the day with little or no notice, with hardly anything with them. And we just want to be able to provide them with at least the basic needs. Tara and I went shopping the other night. Tara loves to shop, and we shopped pretty hard. We bought about $1,500 worth of supplies to
wow.
kind of stock up the foster closet, and the remainder was a check for about $8,500 that was delivered yesterday.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so the folks at the foster club, did they know yet, or they're going to find out? They're finding out here and at 9 o'clock on social media.
Robin and Tara met with them yesterday and delivered the gifts, so they know about it already.
Yeah, terrific. Well, it's fantastic. Again, we talked yesterday with you some about it's a lot of work behind the scenes to culminate to this, but as we go towards a difficult and painful anniversary coming up on Tuesday, at the same time, so much good, and we can't say thank you enough to you and everybody on your team. I know, Caleb, you feel the same way.
Absolutely, and Brian, again, just as a parent of a 9-year-old little girl myself, just so moved because I think it's so easy for those of us who felt the pain initially, but then 2 years later, it's easy to forget. And so we want to, and part of doing this, making these announcements, but letting people know to just absolutely be covering your family in prayer, because I know that pain and that hurt must be very, very fierce. And yet we know that we have a God who's the healer and the peace giver and the peace bringer. And so we just want to love on you and cover you all with prayer during this time.
Thank you. If it's not too much to ask, I'd also ask the same thing for the other families. There's three families, the Helgesons and the Schneiders that lost loved ones too. So please keep them in your prayers as well.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for breaking the news here about the $10,000 at the Chippewa County Foster Closet. And we'll look forward to talking with you tomorrow to find out who is the third recipient here as we continue on with these terrific donations. So Brian Kelly from the Jana Kelly Memorial Foundation, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on again.